tonight's reading is from Yoga, the Alpha and the Omega, Volume 1, by Bhagwan Sri Rajneesh. Mind can either be the source of bondage or the source of freedom. Mind becomes the gate to this world, the entry, but it can also become the exit. Mind leads you to hell, but mind can also lead you to heaven. So it depends upon how the mind is used. Right use of the mind becomes meditation. Wrong use of the mind becomes madness. Mind is there in everyone. The possibility of both darkness and light are implied in it. Mind itself is neither the friend nor the enemy. You can make it a friend or you can make it an enemy. It depends on you who is hidden behind the mind. If you can make the mind your instrument, your slave, the mind becomes the passage through which you can reach the ultimate. If you become the slave and the mind is allowed to be the master, then this mind which has become the master will lead you to ultimate anguish and darkness. All the techniques, all the methods, all the paths of yoga are really concerned deeply only with one problem: how to use the mind. Rightly used, mind comes to a point where it becomes no mind. Wrongly used, mind comes to a point where it is just a chaos. Many voices antagonistic to each other, contradictory, confusing, insane. A madman in a madhouse and Buddha under his Bodhi tree, both have used the mind. Both have passed through the mind. But Buddha has come to a point where the mind disappears. Rightly used, it goes on disappearing, and a moment comes when it is not. The madman has also used the mind. Wrongly used, the mind becomes divided. Wrongly used, the mind becomes many. Wrongly used, it becomes a multitude. And finally, only the mad mind is there, and you are absolutely absent. Buddha's mind disappeared, but Buddha is present in his totality. A madman's mind has become the total, and he himself has disappeared completely. These are the two poles. If you and your mind exist together, then you will be in misery. Either you will have to disappear, or the mind will have to disappear. If the mind disappears, then you achieve truth. If you disappear, then you achieve insanity. And this is the struggle. Which is going to disappear? Are you going to disappear, or the mind? This is the conflict, the root of all struggle. The sutras of Patanjali will lead you step by step towards an understanding of the mind. What it is, what types of modes it can take, what types of modifications come into it, how you can use it, and how you can go beyond it. And remember, you have nothing else right now, only the mind. You have to use it. If you use it wrongly, you will go on falling into more and more misery. You are in misery. That is because for many lives you have used your mind wrongly. The mind has become the master, and you are just a slave, a shadow, following the mind. You cannot say to the mind, stop. You cannot order your own mind. Your mind goes on ordering you, and you have to follow it. Your being has become the shadow, the slave, and the instrument, the master. If mind is in misery, then mind becomes a hindrance. If mind is in non-misery, then mind becomes an opening. But it is not creative. It is not doing anything. You open the windows, and the rays of the sun enter. By opening the windows, you are not creating the sun. The sun was already there. If it were not there, then just by opening the windows, the rays wouldn't enter. And your window can be a hindrance. The sun rays may be outside, but the window is closed. The window can hinder, or it can allow. It can become a passage, but it cannot be creative. It cannot create the rays. The rays are there. Your mind, if it is in misery, becomes closed. Remember, one of the characteristics of misery is closedness. Whenever you are in misery, you become closed. Whenever you feel some anguish, you are closed to the world. Even to your dearest friend, you are closed. When you are in misery, you are closed even to your wife, your children, your beloved. Because misery gives you a shrinking inside. You shrink. From everywhere, you have closed your doors. Whenever you are in misery, you start thinking of suicide. When you are happy, you cannot think of suicide. You cannot imagine. You cannot even think about why people commit suicide. Life is such a joy. Life is such a deep music. So why do people destroy life? It appears impossible. Why is it that when you are happy, suicide looks impossible? Because you are open. Life is flowing in you. When you are happy, you have a bigger soul. Soul expands. When you are unhappy, you have a smaller soul, a contraction. When somebody is unhappy, touch him. Take his hand in your hand. You will feel that his hand is dead. Nothing is flowing through it. No love, no warmth. It is just cold, as if it belongs to a corpse. But when someone is happy and you touch his hand, there is communication. Energy is flowing. His hand is not just a dead hand. His hand has become a bridge. Through his hand, something comes to you and communicates, relates. A warmth flows. He reaches you. He makes every effort to flow into you, and he allows you also to flow into him. When two persons are happy, they become one. That is why in love, oneness happens, and lovers start feeling that they are not two. They are two, but they start feeling that they are not two, because in love, they are so happy that a melting happens. They melt into each other. They flow into each other. Boundaries dissolve. Definitions are blurred. And they don't know who is who. In that moment, they become one. When you are happy, you can flow into others. And you can allow others to flow into you. This is what celebration means. When you allow everybody to flow in you, and you flow in everybody, you are celebrating life. And celebration is the greatest prayer, the highest peak of meditation.